Back home again in dear old Elmhurst, and it seems that I can see the gleaming front porch lights still burning bright through the seven wards of trees. The backyard skunks send all their fragrance through the streets I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on her salt creek, how I long for my great big Elmhurst home.
Golly!
And now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
Well, welcome to a very special episode of the E-Town Lowdown. This episode is being recorded in front of a raucous bunch of lowdown groupies at Elmhurst Brewing
Please,
Company.
Calm down.
Let them hear you, groupies. Let's go. As usual, Robbie, my partner, not my life partner, but my podcast partner, and producer extraordinaire PK are here. Hi, Robbie.
Hi.
Hi, PK.
Hey, good to be here. Cheers.
Tonight, our guests are the founders and owners of the Elmhurst Brewing Company, Fraser Donaldson and Pete Dolan. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having us.
Glad you're here, and thanks for having us, because we're on your territory. So before we get to learn about Elmhurst Brewing, we'd like to get to know each of these gentlemen first. So let's start with Fraser.
Fraser, where did you grow up?
So my family, we're Scottish. We're from Glasgow and moved here when I was 9 and moved to Michigan. Grew up in Michigan, dad in the auto industry.
What part of Michigan?
Birmingham, Royal Oak area.
How far from Detroit is that?
It's about, 20-minute drive, the speed limit.
Speed limit? What's that?
And he was an auto industry guy, you say?
Yeah, worked for Ford forever. Yeah, we're a Ford family.
Alrighty.
Yeah, then went to College of Miami of Ohio and ended up in Chicago when
Oxford,
I was 25. Oxford, OH.
Is there any way to get to Oxford?
from here?
Good grades.
Pretty hard to get, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's a good school. It's got a lot harder to get into. So,
did you do anything in as far as activities or sports in either high school or at Miami of Ohio?
Yes. We played a lot of intramural soccer and football and frisbee and, you know, the usual college stuff. Didn't get into golf till I was older. And, played a lot of sports when I moved to Chicago. Met my wife, who plays soccer. We played on a soccer team together in our late 20s.
Did you start your beer career in college?
So, good buddy from high school, his roommate at DePaul University actually drove us out to the Great American Beer Festival in Colorado in 1991, when I was lucky enough to meet Jim Cook, who is the founder of Boston Brewing.
Oh, Uncle Jim.
So, I've got
you a wish.
No relation, PK.
So, I've got an embarrassing picture of he and I at the Sam Adams beer booth in 1991, shaking hands. It's on our Facebook page. Yeah, so that's the first taste I had of craft beer was right around then, 1990-1991. And friends of mine bought me a brewing kit, which gathered dust. Unfortunately, I never really got into it, just life got in the way. But after a career in recruiting, I resurrected the desire, and brought us pretty much, or that brought me to where we are today.
How did you end up in Elmhurst then?
So my wife and I looked around. She's from Wisconsin, so we had no affinity to any suburb in particular, but we shopped around and just loved Elmhurst. We found we knew people here. We knew the Reedy family. We knew some other families that had moved here, and loved the proximity to O'Hare. And it's a great town. It's big enough, but it's small enough.
And here you are in the middle of the Chicagoland area, bringing all the beer drinkers to Elmhurst. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what do you love about Elmhurst?
The genuineness, I think, of everybody. Everybody's approachable. Everybody is down to earth. We've got extremely successful people in town, and you wouldn't know it by talking to them. compared to some other nearby suburbs. I think physically the town has a lot to offer. I love that we have three little downtowns, one bigger than the next. We have enough sushi and wine bars to go around, which is great. It's been a great 11 years living here.
And do you guys have children?
Yeah, Melissa and I have three. We have twin girls who are 11 going through the Sandberg, Hawthorne, York line. And then our son is 7.
Nice.
Yeah.
What hobbies do you have other than beer?
Trying to get some sleep. Yeah, it's been a crazy ride. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But golf is my only other vice.
So is it true you're a Red Wings fan?
It is completely true. I'm a Detroit Red Wings fan.
Let's hear it, guys.
Whoa, boo.
How'd you guys do in the playoffs this year, Blackhawks fans?
Oh,
hey. Wow. Better cut that mic off.
Hey, remember where your bread is buttered here, buddy.
So tell us about your taste in music.
Easy. Old school, REM, New Order, Cure, Smiths. That kind of 80s stuff. I love that stuff all day.
What's your favorite band?
Tough question. Who's your favorite kid? That's a tough one.
Well, that's easy.
I bet you're a big Genesis fan.
I am a big Genesis fan, yeah.
I had you pegged right away.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, old school. Gabriel. Yep.
All right. How about your favorite style of beer?
Good question. I love the Oktoberfest, the Marzen style. It's drinkable. It's approachable. You can do a lot with it. Melissa and I went to Munich for my 40th birthday and just had a phenomenal time and realized how you can drink beer all day without falling down or getting in fights, which Americans are still getting used to. They're still trying to
learn.
What's
the trick to that?
It's the ABV. It's the pacing yourself. It's a cultural thing, too. You know, we were sitting at tables with grandparents and grandchildren all dressed up, and people are drinking beer all day and having a great time, and it was phenomenal.
Nice.
And we try to bring some of that from a German brewer to the kind of large tables, some of which we've ordered for the beer garden, large communal seating, trying to make it more of a community experience.
And when did you have your first beer again? When you were...
When I was a senior at Miami
really?
University.
Really? That was your first beer?
I don't believe that.
Come on.
That was my first legal
beer. We're going to press you on this.
First legal beer.
Okay. You're off the hook for a minute. Now we're going to put Pete on the hook.
All right. I'm going to have a sip of my beer.
Pete, you there?
I'm here, Rich.
All right. Robbie, take it away.
Pete, tell us where you grew up.
I grew up in Riverwoods, Illinois. So just north of here, right where the Deerfield Toll Plaza used to be.
Yeah. Lake Hook in Milwaukee?
That's
around
correct.
There?
Yeah.
And so where'd you go to high school?
So I went to Loyola Academy.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And did you partake in any sports or activities at
I
Loyola?
Did. I wrestled on the wrestled for Loyola for 3 years.
What weight class?
Wow, you won't believe it now, but
wait. Let's look at his beard and figure out what weight class he was in. Go ahead.
105.
120. 145 and 152.
Wow, you wear it well.
And then where did you go to college?
So when you go to Loyola Academy, you kind of have two choices. They either let you go to Loyola University or Marquette University, and I chose Marquette up in Milwaukee.
A fine beer city it is.
It is.
Did you dorm in the beer can freshman year?
I did my freshman year.
Yeah, that's where it all started then.
That's exactly it, right in the beer can in the sky, until they asked me to leave second semester. So. They felt my skills and social abilities would be best suited off campus.
So what did you do for a career early on?
So I graduated Marquette on a Sunday. Dad drove up with the company truck, threw me the keys, and said, "We're missing a driver. Expect you at the family business by Wednesday."
Wow.
So I began my illustrious career manufacturing the world's greatest dumbwaiters.
Do you have a dumbwaiter here?
We do not. They're extremely expensive.
Plus, your waiters here are very smart.
Very smart.
Yes.
There was no salesman that could convince you to buy a dumbwaiter?
Well, I had spent years running the numbers on why people should justify purchasing a dumbwaiter in a restaurant facility versus the labor running up the stairs. And having run those numbers for 20 years, I realized the numbers were not in my favor.
And how did you come to Elmhurst, Pete?
So I came to Elmhurst from my lovely wife, Julie, who's joining us here today.
Hi, Julie. Everybody say hi, Julie.
Julie and I met my first senior year at Marquette. We dated throughout my second senior year at Marquette. We dated after college as I lived in the DePaul area. And we eventually got married, and Julie said, the best place in the world to live is Elmhurst.
Wow.
So she was a real estate agent. She drew a circle around her parents' house that was about 3 square blocks. We ended up about 6 houses down from my in-laws.
Nice. Built-in babysitters.
What do you love about Elmhurst?
For us, and I mean, really, on a personal note, Julie comes from a very large family. She comes from a family of 9. They all still live in Elmhurst. And I think one of the greatest things that Elmhurst has afforded our family that I didn't have growing up in kind of a rural area in Riverwoods was the proximity of the kids. My kids are very fortunate in the fact that they have a lot of cousins their own age in the neighborhood, and they're all very close, within 3 and 4 blocks of each other. It is rarely a day that goes by that we don't have some of the relatives over, kind of hanging out at what we call our Kool-Aid house with a joint, and it's nice. Most of our kids know their cousins as more so as brothers and sisters than as cousins, and I really like that experience for them.
Any other activities that you like to do other than beer? Any hobbies?
Right now, I think we put most of our hobbies on hold as we've been getting this going for the past 2 years. Some things we're talking about doing later is getting better educated on the beer. I mean, one nice thing we like to do about this or in this industry is getting out and doing more beer-centric activities and really exposing ourselves to more people and products in the industry that we can look to for kind of expanding our existing varieties.
So research is your...
Research, R&D.
Yeah, R&D in the beer business.
So on the personal side, what kind of music do you like to listen to, Pete?
My wife likes to say I'm stuck in the 90s. So basically all the music I listened to in during college. So a lot of Pearl Jam and kind of grunge music from back in the day.
So you're the 90s guy and Fraser's the 80s guy. Who picks the music for the restaurant?
We go back and forth, and it's really kind of
you fight about
the genre. We have very similar musical tastes. I think it's more so the younger staff that is strained by our musical taste kind of constantly playing over and over again. But we enjoy it.
What's your favorite style of beer?
I really like trying new beers. I think one of the best parts of this, the beer education, was really discovering that there's a lot of palate and a lot of variety. Just in talking to many people in the beer industry, you wouldn't know there's 160 recognized styles of beer out there. And of those 160, there's a lot of diversity within them and a lot of variance. And I always love trying a new beer. I'd say that the funnest part about beer is trying different beers different times a day and different times a year. I love the heavier, darker beers in the wintertime. I love the lighter beers in the summertime. One of my favorites right now is a style of beer that's probably not the most popular style, but I was really excited when Cam rolled it on the menu. I really got into kind of the malt side of beer, really fall in love with the Baltic porters.
So Pete, Fraser said he had his first beer senior in college, I believe. Do you want to tell us the truth about when you had your first beer?
All right, I'll come clean. I had my first six pack when I was 12.
Wow.
Nice. Now there's an honest.
An entire six pack?
Entire six pack.
We appreciate your honesty.
And were you ever a home brewer?
I was never a home brewer.
Really? Neither one of you were home brewers, huh?
Hey, when you're drinking at 12, you don't have time to brew your own.
Fraser, you can revise your answer about when you had your first beer.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
So it must have been pretty early.
Well, in growing up in Britain, you know, they have a shandy is very popular, very common. So it's a mix of lemonade and beer, and you would go to bars and restaurants with your parents, and they would often order you a shandy. So most likely my first beer was mixed with lemonade in some pub in the UK.
At the age of 4?
When my mom was pregnant with me, the...
Was there a nipple on that bottle?
Well, You mentioned that when I say my mom. That's not cool.
That was a coincidence.
So her doctor, when she was pregnant with me in 1968, said to have a stout a day.
Wow.
That was doctor's orders.
A lot of nutrients.
So she did.
Okay, well, we'll take a quick break here on the Lowdown, and we'll be right back.
This is Mary Beth Harper, director of the Elmhurst Public Library, and you're listening to the E-Town Lowdown with your hosts Robbie and Rick, but PK is the one with all the talent.
The E-Town Lowdown encourages you to like Explore Elmhurst on Facebook, a great resource so you too can be in the know when it comes to Elmhurst. Elmhurst, close to everything, unlike anything. And we're back on the E-Town Lowdown here at the Elmhurst Brewing Company. And we've got our raucous groupies here again. Most of the groupies are PKs because he's the best looking. He's the least hair, but the best looking.
Wow.
So we're here with the gentlemen who are the founders and the owners of the Elmhurst Brewing Company. That's Pete Dolan and Fraser Donaldson. And let's start with how you two met. Tell us about that, and whichever one of you wants to take that, take it.
Fraser and I met through a common acquaintance. My brother-in-law, Larry Reedy of L.W. Reedy, here in Elmhurst, has an older brother who was fraternity brothers with Fraser at Miami, Ohio. Got into similar social circles. We bumped into each other kind of at the same parties after hours here in Elmhurst.
And I run a charity golf outing that benefits the Scottish Home in North Riverside, and 1 year Larry Reedy brought Pete along. That's when I really got to know him and got to know the tattoo on his chest.
Okay, wait. Time
There's
out,
a story
time
there. Come
we
on.
Need to see that.
Pete?
This is radio.
For the crowd here.
It's his mother across my chest.
Pete, you have a chest for radio. So when did you two first get the idea to start a microbrewery?
And a brew pub.
A brew pub, sorry.
Yeah.
Long story short, I wanted to bring a brewery to Elmhurst. Felt we had the need, we had the demographic. I felt I was pissed off all the towns around us had breweries and we didn't. So I started making some calls to try to find line up some investors and people to be willing to part with a few bucks to make this happen. And Pete turned the tables on me and said, instead of an investor, how about a partner? He said he was looking for something to do. Julie was getting sick of him, wanted to kick him out of the house. He had been very successful with his dumbwaiter business. I think he was known as the king of the dumbwaiters.
Dumbwaiter king of Chicago.
Ba-dum-bum.
And I actually married into the sausage queen of Milwaukee, on a side note.
Is that Abe Froman?
Abe Froman's
the Froman
wife.
Family?
I have a follow-up question for that one.
My wife's family is Millie's Italian Sausage in Milwaukee. We serve their sausages here in two of our dishes. Pete said, no, let's talk about being partners. And fast forward, we had the same love of our hometown, our adopted hometowns. We both felt this was a viable business, and more importantly, we were both excited about it. And we knew each other a little bit, and it was a safer bet to get together, and we both bring different strengths to the table. And it ended up being that classic yin-yang relationship where, you know, if I have a weakness, it's his strength and vice versa.
Who contributed most to the business plan?
That's pretty equal, I'd say. I mean,
that's no fun.
I was an English major. I wrote the business plan. Pete's spelling is absolutely atrocious.
Absolutely.
I
can't spell atrocious.
But no, I mean, he's got a great mind for business. He ran a pretty large business, and I've taken on a lot of the writing, but we edit everything for each other and help each other draw conclusions, and you know, his financial mind is very sharp.
So how did you pick this location? Let me guess. You found the building in the worst shape in Elmhurst and said, we're going to make something of this place. That's a compliment, by the way, not an insult.
It's called vision.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's called limited choices. We spent about a year looking for a building. Everybody said, hey, you know, what's taking this brewery so long? And when you decide you want to be downtown and you draw a very small three-block circle around there, you realize there are not a lot of buildings available. We had this beautiful vision of this beautiful building with a ready-made kitchen and ready-made trench drains that we could just kind of move in and be ready. That building did not exist in Elmhurst. So this one came on the market, and we looked at it, and we said, boy, oh boy, does this thing need a lot of work. And I got out the old AutoCAD and laid some drawings, and we said, I think we can do something with this.
Before you opened here, how much research did you do at other breweries, and was that research really tough?
Well, yes. We visited a ton of breweries. I've been collecting stickers and coasters of breweries for years, thinking this would be a fun thing to incorporate into our brewery one day. And Pete and I visited them for fun, but then when you start putting together a business plan, you start visiting breweries and you look at them in a completely different eye. Where is the revenue stream coming from? Where's the strength? Where's the weakness? How do we want to manage the front of house? Do we want to be a tap room or a brew pub? And it really, I mean, you know, we definitely tried some beers throughout the you know, in Michigan and Illinois, but you really, when it becomes your life and you know, I quit my day job for this career change, and you really focus on what is going to make us successful? What is going to make us unique in Elmhurst? Why would a craft beer lover in Chicago drive to Elmhurst? And why would someone in Elmhurst be proud of their hometown brewery?
And are there legal complications because you're selling beer? Obviously, some.
Sure, I wouldn't say complications, though. I mean, you just have to be licensed by the TTB. You need the mayor of your town to give you a liquor license.
I hear that's tough.
You know, if you can't find the mayor, you can find just Steve.
and the state of Illinois and the Liquor Commission, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, no, Elmhurst has been a huge proponent of ours since day one, from Mike Kopp to Aaron Jason to Mayor Morley, been huge fans of ours. Everybody says, was the city the big delay? No, they were the least of the delays.
What does TTB stand for?
Trade Tobacco Bureau. It's the old ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Who regulates brewing?
The federal government. It's an arm of the government, the TTB.
And they regulate the brewing?
Yes.
What goes into it? Okay.
And are there different classes of breweries, brew pubs? You mentioned tap room. Tell us about that.
There's three classifications, and brew pub is one of them. So tap room is kind of what you'd traditionally expect. They're geared towards high production beer. So when you go in, it's more of a warehouse setting. They've got really large tanks, and the expectation is they really want to be in the retail stores going for a national presence. When you visit, you're generally only having a few beers at the tap room afterwards. So it's limited, just the beer that they have on site is the only beer you can have. So it's kind of common, like if you go to the larger breweries, do a brewery tour, and afterwards you have their beer and that's it. The brew pub is very different. We're very limited in the amount of beer that we can produce every year. But we are allowed to have our own POS system, our own food presence. We're also allowed to sell liquor. So it allows us to have wine and spirits available, as well as have our own food on site, which I think was definitely something that was a little bit more challenging for Fraser and I when we started doing this. We wanted to do the tap room because, in all honesty, it's much cheaper, and you have less exposure and stress having to deal with the food element. But we felt the Elmhurst demographic was such that a tap room wouldn't have the amount of traffic or be kind of ingratiated as much as a brew pub. So we kind of went the extra mile, and we put the kitchen in. We hired Jason, whom you just heard from, which was a fantastic chef in addition, and we went the brew pub route.
How did you determine who you wanted to architect this place and then build it?
I think Pete Googled brew pub builders, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome.
On the Google, huh?
On the Google.
Scientific.
And it spat out some names, and we sat down at Brew Point Coffee, who is also a collaborator with us for one of our best-selling beers now. We sat down at Brew Point and met with a gentleman that runs a construction company that focuses on breweries and brew pubs.
How much work went into transformation of this building?
Well,
in other words, at what point did you decide you were going to renovate as opposed to starting over?
I think as soon as we bought the building, we knew we were going to renovate this. This building really was not at all fit for our purposes. We knew this was going to be a total gut rehab. But again, like I mentioned before, I mean, ownership of property in Elmhurst downtown is, there's limited possibility. So this had to become our only choice. In fact, we looked at a number of buildings, and this was it. So we said, we're going to make it work.
Now, neither of you had any commercial brewing experience. In fact, neither of you were home brewers. So tell us about how you went about identifying your brewmaster, who we'll meet in a few minutes.
Well, my career was I was a partner at a retained search firm and was an executive recruiter for 25 years. So my career was all about finding perfect fits. And I can't take all the credit, but you know, we posted some job ads and we interviewed a lot of people. And part of Cam's criteria was looking for a place he could move to where his wife was from. She's from Tinley. They wanted to move up here for the next 10 years of their wedded bliss. And the first 10 years was down in a suburb of Dallas, Texas. And when I posted the ad, you know, he was one of the respondents. And on a related note, on the fun side, every Tuesday night for a while, I think it was, Melissa, Pete, and I, and sometimes Julie, when she was available, would sit in my basement and try beer that brewers had mailed to us. So
that's hard work.
We're dedicated. We're very dedicated.
So we'll save the technical questions for Cam when he's on later. But
thank you.
Tell us about your brewing equipment from a high level.
So did you start with that by just Googling brewing equipment and then just buy a bunch of junk?
We went to, I went to Philadelphia 3 years ago now to the National Brewing Convention. Because of my elevator background, the stainless steel, the controllers and everything kind of fell in my bailiwick. So Fraser said, why don't you get out there and start looking at some equipment. It came to our attention that this has become such a big industry. There was about right around 30 people that manufacture brewing equipment and the size of equipment that we needed. And I had taken business cards and all of them. I looked at all of them and I narrowed it down to about 15. Then I narrowed it down a little further. We really fell in love with the manufacturer that we picked. I liked a lot of the unique ways that they had manufactured their equipment. They had a couple bells and whistles on there that none of the other manufacturers did. And they were located in Rock Island, Illinois. So I really liked the fact that they were close. In fact, realistically, we were targeting a 10-barrel system, and that was exactly what we were going to go with. The drawback was Crawford only made a 15-barrel, so we ended up buying this 15-barrel, which at the time we thought was going to be too big. Now we probably should have got 20-barrel, but we're very happy with our 15-barrel system.
Nice. So we'll take a quick break here on the Lowdown, and we'll be right back.
Hey, hey. This is Southside Maryland Monroe. That's M-A-N-R-O-W. Gentlemen prefer blondes, but I prefer Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown.
And now it's time for another episode of One Ponce a Time with our producer extraordinaire, PK.
Hey, we're here to celebrate the Elmhurst Brewing Company, and a fine addition to Elmhurst it is. But did you know that it's not the first brewing company in Elmhurst? Yes, boys and girls, One Ponce a Time, from 1988 to 1997, Elmhurst was home to the Pavichevich Brewing Company. Founded by Ken Pavichevich, the company brewed a beer called Baderbrau. It was described by the late beer reviewer, Michael Jackson, as the best pilsner I've ever tasted in America. By 1990, more than 200 bars in the Chicago area served Baderbrau. Urban legend has it that some gentlemen from Elmhurst even ran a race called the Baderbrau 5K. They would start at Enneman's Bakery on North Avenue, load up with donuts, and then jog over to the Pavichevich Brewing Company less than a mile down County Line Road and wash those donuts down with some nice cold Baderbrau. In 1990, in an attempt to increase sales, the Pavichevich Brewing Company started making favorable medical claims about Baderbrau. Those claims were soon dropped after an investigation by the FDA. But other company resources were soon depleted by the company's attempt to distribute the beer in the state of Washington, where so many other microbrews were becoming popular. In 1997, the Pavichevich Brewing Company filed for bankruptcy. We know the Elmhurst Brewing Company will not suffer the same fate. Look at this place. It's beautiful. He has a great beer garden opening up soon. The food is great, and most importantly, the beer is great. Come check it out. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, this is Pamela Dunley. As president and CEO of Elmhurst Hospital, I know that sometimes laughter can be the best medicine. When I need a good laugh, I tune into the E-Town Lowdown. And you should too. Give it a try.
And we're back here on the E-Town Lowdown. Yay! We're live at the Elmhurst Brewing Company tonight with a raucous audience of Lowdown groupies. And on this next segment, we'd like to introduce the head chef of Elmhurst Brewing, Jason Kurosaki.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Very well.
We understand that you're really outgoing and that we might have to calm you down a little bit.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Wild and crazy.
Jason, it's tricky here because your restaurant is so crowded because it's so popular. You really got to talk into the mic, all right?
All right, we'll do.
But tell us where you grew up.
I was actually born and raised in Arkansas, just south of Little Rock. Lived there and went to college, University of Arkansas in Fayetteville.
Nice.
Did 4 years there.
What did you major in?
I was a chemical engineering major.
Getting deep and dirty on the food there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Taking it down
cooking.
To the
same vein right there, right?
So did you ever work in the engineering field?
I did not, no. I actually was working in kitchens during college to pay the bills and pay rent and whatnot, and found that I really enjoyed that. I took a little sabbatical and just kind of stuck with it. So
you became interested just because you had that job experience?
Well, no. I mean, it was just I found a kitchen that was, I'd been working in like pizza places and that kind of stuff, and I just kind of by chance happened upon a job at one of the best restaurants in Arkansas, and didn't know it at the time, but they were doing everything from scratch, and it really kind of ignited a passion in me, and I stuck with it and kind of followed it, and here I am.
So it sounds to me like working in your laboratory of the kitchen that's a little bit more creative than the laboratory of science.
Yeah, I've always had kind of both sides. Very creative, but also like kind of a very scientific mind. And it was kind of what the creative side was definitely repressed with the engineering background. So I think it really kind of gave me a nice outlet to do some really cool things. And
I know my wife enjoys your creative fried dough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you explain to Robbie what happens when he puts Mentos in the Coke bottle?
No.
Chemical engineer.
You don't need a degree for that one.
I
learned my lesson the hard way on that one.
Yeah,
blows up. Any formal training that you've had?
I did. Actually, that's why I'm in Chicago. I came here. I was actually living in Hawaii for a while and came here to go to baking and pastry school at Kendall College. So and then I met my wife and still here.
You were in Hawaii and you moved here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Totally logical.
Jason, your food's good, but I'm not so sure about your judgment.
But yeah, you met your wife in a school studying sweets and pastries.
No, actually, I got a job at a bar in Lincoln Park called Dunley's, and she was a server there, and that's how we met.
So, beautiful. Yeah. Great.
Had you ever paired food with beer before you started working here?
Absolutely. It's craft beer has been such a huge, huge thing as of like probably like 10 years ago, maybe even before that, but like it really started kind of coming into the Chicago area around then, like with a huge resurgence of just phenomenal stuff. And I've been working in some kind of taverny, upscale tavern like type restaurants, and we've done lots of beer dinners with some of the bigger names now. They weren't when they started off though. We were doing stuff with Revolution when they were smaller, back when Lagunitas just came into the area. We were doing stuff with them, so we've done some really cool things, and it's just been I've always loved beer, and just being able to work with the brewers and doing beer tastings and beer pairings has been it's been really fun. We did a beer dinner at one of the restaurants that I was working at with Unibrew from Canada, and it was just really cool because it was they started talking about how there's like so many more different flavors you can get from beer as opposed to like wine, and that was just it kind of blew my mind. So it really kind of opened up a new world for me.
So really, a lot of that pairing of food and beer is through experimentation?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you just... You're around people who are passionate about it, and you learn from them. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I've always sought out people who knew more than I did. And this is just another one of those great opportunities where I get to work with Cam, he's a phenomenal brewer, has such a great knowledge, and it really kind of opens up, you know, new information for me, new things that I can do with the food. And
how often do you cook at home?
Not very often anymore. you know, I love cooking. For me, it's I love food. I love the craft part of it, but it's also it's a great hospitality thing. And so, you know, I've got three kids that don't get to, they're not quite as adventurous as I am. So, the food at home is not quite as fun as it is at work.
What's their favorite beer? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Cam, the brewmaster. How often do you work together to either develop a beer or a menu item on your side of the kitchen?
Well, we're still pretty new, so you know, there's a lot of talk about where we want to go with it. You know, when we first opened, it was really just trying to honestly just do as best we could with what we had, and I think that the future, there's going to be a lot of more ambitious things that we're going to be doing with it. So, you know, there's a lot of potential for us to really kind of grow with each other. You know, we obviously we have food right now that pairs really well with the beer that we have, but you know, they're just getting more nuanced, I think, is where we can grow.
So, Jason, you and I were talking before you came up here about you starting your own business as a food caterer, and you were looking for investors.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's going to interfere with your job here?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to talk about that in front of everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will invest.
Do most of the customers that come here, do they end up eating as well as drinking, or how does the split work there?
That is actually one of the biggest surprises for me. I was not, you know, with my previous group I had, that I was working with, I had been pushing them for years to open up a brew pub. And it just never happened. So when this opened up, it was I was very excited about it, and I really was very happy to get in here. But my expectations coming in was that this was going to be a very beer-focused place, and it is. But we have sold a lot more food than I was really prepared for, and it's been, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'm very happy with what we've done.
And do
we still have Fraser up here, Fraser. Tell us about how you and Pete influenced the menu, if at all.
Well, before we were lucky enough to find Jason, we came up with a list of food that we felt we both enjoyed, and judging by looking at us, you can tell we enjoy food. And that list also included food items that you can't buy in Elmhurst. And one of the things we've always tried to do is be different from the beer to this rehab space here in Elmhurst to the people we hire, to the types of experiences we want people to have here. And that list of food included things that you couldn't buy anywhere else in town. We kind of carved out this, what we call upscale pub food. We didn't want to be all fried foods. We didn't want it to be just a burger and chicken wings. And from that list, Jason tore it up. No, I'm just kidding. He tweaked it. I mean, he said, oh, well, if you want this, what if we did this? And I'll make my own sauce. So all of our wings, you know, he came up with three homemade sauces that are just phenomenal. Our cheese curds, we wanted cheese curds, and he does a beer-battered tempura batter. So it's a lot lighter than cheese curds you're used to. So he basically took that list and made it from scratch and made it better. And as Jason has said, you know, he should pat himself on the back, because the amount of meals we sell has far surpassed our expectations.
And Jason, what dishes have been most popular so far, both on the appetizer side and on the main course side?
Well, he mentioned the two most popular appetizers, the cheese curds and the wings. You know, I think they are a step above like your traditional bar wing. So those sell really well. People have really responded to those. We sell a lot of hummus plates and meat and cheese boards. Our burger sells really well, but we also have a really nice pork sandwich that is it's like a take on a schnitzel, And it's almost like a, if you guys are, any of you are familiar with an Indiana tenderloin sandwich where the pork is really huge and it like dwarfs the bun. That's kind of our take on that, and that sells really well as well.
What size parties can you accommodate here?
It kind of varies. We have a lot of potential here to do nice intimate diner parties, as well as we could do 100 plus.
The mezzanine here in which we're sitting holds 46 people, and downstairs we can hold 100. And actually next Tuesday, the YMCA of Elmhurst has rented out the entire space, all 150 capacity, to raise money for our local YMCA chapter.
Oh, there's a gentleman here whose name is Just Steve, and he counted 47 up here tonight.
I'll be leaving.
Maybe Just Steve could leave.
No. One last question for you, Jason, before we go on to the next segment, and that is, what's your favorite menu item, and what's your favorite beer?
Favorite beer?
Which is your favorite kid?
Start with that. Yeah, exactly. That's really tough, because that's one of those, we've put a lot of sweat and a lot of hard work into the menu. Personally, I usually get the fried buffalo chicken sandwich or a burger. Those two are just my go-tos. I love sandwiches, and I love our burger. It's a really solid burger. Beer, I think that the one that Cam just did, the Professor Plum, is really solid. I love that. Or I'll drink the beer right almost every night, because it's just...
Cam's wife is agreeing with you in the background there. She loves the Plum.
Yeah, they're both great. You know, it just so much flavor packed into each one, and they're so well balanced that, it's good stuff.
Well, great getting to know you, Jason. We'll take a quick break, and how about a big hand for Jason Kurosaki?
All right.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on the Lowdown.
Hello, Pete Kruger here from the Elmhurst Independent Newspaper. When I want a good laugh, I listen to E-Town Lowdown, even though Rick, Robbie, and PK podcast from a hot tub, they're three cool dudes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are Steve Waddington and the Retro Rocket All-Stars. And when we're not rocking in Southern California, we listen to the E-Town Lowdown.
We're back here on the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick, and our producer extraordinaire, PK, who's really the good-looking one, but you know, that's neither here nor there. We're here at the Elmhurst Brewing Company in front of a raucous crowd of groupies. At least the hardcore ones are still around. This segment, we'd like to introduce you to Elmhurst Brewing Company's head brewmaster, and you, Cam Horn. Cam, welcome.
Thanks, all right, guys.
Cam, thanks for being here.
Cam, welcome, you have Cam. Another title, too. What's your other title?
Head brewer. Or head Texan, as Fraser likes to call me.
Head Texan. So tell us where you grew up, Cam.
I grew up in Dallas. Born in Dallas. Grew up in the suburbs out there. Ended up living back in Dallas for the past 8 years or so before I uprooted myself and came up here to the Chicago.
Were you in the suburb of Plano by chance?
I was not. I actually lived in Dallas proper. We lived in the city. The brewery that I was at was just north of Plano. It was in McKinney.
Okay, gotcha.
About 15 minutes north of Plano. So I drove through Plano every day on my way to work.
What's it like to grow up in Texas?
Hot. It's really hot. It's,
you can do better than that.
Well, it's, you know, I always kind of felt a little displaced down there, being surrounded by, I don't know, people tend to think of Texas as being filled with cowboys and pickup trucks and horses all over the place. The only time I've ever ridden a horse, I was on vacation in Colorado. Never owned a cowboy hat, never owned a pair of boots.
Any truth to the saying, I'm from Texas, what country are you from?
Absolutely. If you ever go down there and you spend much time in the state, you realize that it's a whole other world down there. So
how did you get your first job in the beer industry, and what was that job?
My first job in the beer industry was grunt. So in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there really wasn't any good beer. We had Shiner Bock and Sam Adams if we were lucky to find it. And other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot. So after high school, I had some friends that moved to Colorado and introduced me to craft beer. Came back down to Texas, and there just wasn't any craft beer. So I started homebrewing to make good beer since I couldn't go out and buy it. One thing led to another, and I ended up getting in on the very ground floor of the brewing industry at the brewery that I ended up becoming a head brewer at.
So that takes us to, a question. When did you have your first beer?
When I had my first beer, I honestly don't really remember. It was definitely like a Coors Light or something terrible like that. And I didn't like beer. I mean, when I was getting drunk in high school, it was off of, like Mickey's Malt Liquor in Old English.
And it was probably warm.
Crap like that. Yeah, it was terrible.
Did you ever do any cow tipping?
That's the national pastime of Texas.
That's a stereotype that you really hated, right?
No, yeah. Also being in Dallas, I was in the city, so I wasn't, you know.
You could do PK and I a favor and take Robbie cow tipping, and he doesn't realize there really is no such thing as cow tipping.
You try to tip over a cow, those things weigh like 800 pounds. It's not easy to do.
Bob's a little tougher than us.
You have to use a vehicle.
Yeah.
Do you have any formal education in brewing?
I do. I do have formal education. So I had homebrewed for about 8 years before my lovely wife decided that we needed to stop spending all of our money on my hobby.
And your wife's here, right?
She is.
Let's hop out a round of applause for Cam's wife.
There she is.
And Cam, what's her first name?
Her first name is Nikki.
Nikki, all right. And thanks for being here, Nikki.
Yeah, and she's actually the reason that I'm here too. So she grew up in Tinley down on the south side, and I just fell in love with her family in the Chicagoland area. So that's
nice.
That's what.
But Nikki, all that money that was spent on his home brewing was really an investment because here you are. I just got a winning
beer. So what types of beer did you primarily brew down in Texas at Franconia?
At Franconia, it was almost entirely German-style beers. So my boss, our owner there, Dennis, was from Nuremberg, Germany. He came to Texas specifically to help kind of operate a brew pub chain that went under. And when they went under, he bought all of their equipment and opened up Franconia Brewing, which was the second brewery in the entire kind of Dallas metro area. So when I went to Siebel to get my brewing certification after having been a home brewer for a while, I didn't really have a whole lot of choices. I had two breweries to go choose from. I had Rahr in Fort Worth and Franconia way up north of Dallas. And turns out that Siebel is the sister school of Domins in Germany, where my former boss went to. So we kind of hit it off right there. He wasn't willing to pay me, but I was just kind of wanting to get into the brewing industry and learn more about it. So for the next 6 months, I squeegeed floors and scooped up grain and just kind of did whatever grunt work I could do to be in the brew house.
So we did a little research on you, did some background checks, and we understand that you brewed a very high alcohol content or ABV beer. Tell us about that.
Very high alcohol content. Actually, an illegally high alcohol content beer.
Wow.
It's not a record that's written down anywhere because it's illegal. But I have brewed the strongest beer ever brewed in the state of Texas at 27% ABV.
Wow.
Do you have any left?
I don't, but I do have maybe a little plan to do something similar to that.
So that's
here.
54 proof.
That is a 54 proof beer. Yeah.
So what kind of yeast do you use to brew that?
So it was a Belgian style. It was a Belgian dark strong, but the beer only got up to about 13% through natural fermentation. Then we iced it. So we took the beer, we stuck it in a deep freeze, and we froze some of the water out to concentrate the beer down. So we ended up taking it from a 13% beer to a 27%.
So there is something to that ice house thing.
Yeah. That's
That's the theory?
Yeah, I guess so.
The chemistry, whatever?
They say they cold filter it and it freezes out some of the water and makes it stronger or something like that.
That's funny.
So, but yeah, it's a very old traditional German style that came about by accident, and we tried our hand at it and ended up making an incredibly strong beer.
What's your favorite style of beer?
It honestly depends on the day. My go-to here is the Schwartz, our Schwarz beer. It's a black lager. It's a German style, which is kind of my background. But it's also a beer that I'm drinking right now. But I had this recipe before I ever became a professional brewer. It's something that a lot of home brewers don't ever get into is lager beer brewing. So it's kind of one way that I tried to set myself apart from a lot of other home brewers. And this is actually the first beer that I ever won an award with. It won the Blue Ribbon in like the 2008 Foam Cup in Oklahoma. It was a while ago, but I've been kind of honing this recipe and keeping it very close to myself for a long time. And if I don't want to think about it, black lager is what I'm gonna sit down and order. If I see one on tap somewhere, that's gonna be like my gauge of a good brewer is how well they can do that style. And again, if I just don't want to think about it, I just want to order a nice, easy drinking, good beer, it's gonna be a Schwartz beer.
So it obviously wasn't too difficult to get your wife to move here since she's from Tinley Park. Tell us how you found out about the job.
So we were up here early 2017, kind of when we decided that we wanted to pick ourselves up out of Dallas and move to the Chicago area. So at that point, it was just kind of figuring out how we were actually going to make the transition. So we were here for a wedding in February when we actually made the decision to pick up our lives and move. And it was the next week that I got home and started looking for opportunities in the Chicagoland area. The brewing business is there's a lot more people that want to get into it than there are spots available. So I found a couple openings. The guys had posted the job on one of the professional brewing forums, and I think I had actually gotten on a little bit late. They had already found a couple guys, had been talking to a few people about hiring them as their head brewer. Sent them my resume, didn't hear anything back for a couple weeks, figured, that post was old, I'm not going to hear anything from them now, and they called me back. Apparently my resume was impressive enough to warrant a call back. And at that point, it was a fairly intensive, long interviewing process. They flew me out here a couple times. They flew my wife out here. They wanted to make sure that we all melded, not just on a professional level, but on a personal level too, because they knew we'd be working so closely with one another.
So how are you enjoying Elmhurst?
I really dig it. It's kind of It's a bizarre place to me, having come from living basically downtown Dallas and being used to the very, very much like kind of urban city life. I got to Elmhurst and I could not believe that a place like this actually existed outside of Hollywood. It's like you got to be kidding me. This is too nice. But we found an apartment right down the road from the brewery, so I can walk to work, I can walk down to the square, go hang out at the bars and restaurants, and I mean it seems a little too ideal to be real, but we're definitely digging it here.
You can stop in and visit the mayor anytime you want.
Yeah, they're like right around the corner, so it's I didn't know that such places existed before I ended up in one.
It's our little Mayberry.
But we are definitely I call it Pleasantville from time to time, but we're enjoying ourselves very much here.
How much beer is ready to serve on site at any given time?
I actually did a inventory this morning. Right now in-house we have 82 barrels of beer. Almost all of it is ready to drink right now. 82 barrels is 164 kegs, and each keg is 250 pints, so you can do the math, but a lot. We got a lot of beer ready to drink in this place at any given point.
Sounds like we don't have to go home.
How much grain do you go through a week?
Depends on the week. I've had a couple busy brewing weeks, last week, this week, and next week. Each batch is going to be in the neighborhood of 1,000 pounds. And right now I'm doing, let's say on average, about two batches a week. So about 2,000 pounds of grain every week we're going through here.
Now, obviously, our listeners can't see or smell what you brought.
Ooh, and I did.
Here, but you
brought
some hops and some grain. And tell us about the differences in malted barley as it relates to the finished product and what folks are used to drinking.
So, what folks are used to drinking, people that aren't into craft beer, is going to be your typical light lagers, which is going to be made with primarily Pilsner malt, which I do have a little bit of right here. But they use corn and rice and other stuffs in there to lighten the body, lighten the overall beer in the end. Being a brewer with a German background, I use a lot of Pilsner malts in my Helles and the Schwarz beer. A lot of the lagers that I do, and some more of the European styles. Very clean, light-colored grain. That's basically going to provide the base of all of the starches, which get turned into sugars, which get turned into alcohol later on. We've also got some wheat here. Wheat is going to obviously be used in a high amount in wheat beers, but for any other beer, we can use it to add body to the beer. Wheat adds like kind of a creaminess, full body to the beer. Wheat is also a lot better to just snack on as the cup goes around than the other one.
It's not as sweet, but it's good.
It's not as sweet, but it doesn't have the husk on it like barley does. It's going to get caught in your teeth, but the husk kind of helps us out in the brewing process.
And then what's this darker malt that you brought?
And then the dark one that we have here is roasted barley. So any dark beers, porters, stouts, the black lager that I'm drinking right now, they use different kinds of roasted grains. This one in particular, you get a pretty strong kind of a char, but a kind of a mocha dark chocolate bitterness out of it as well.
And you also brought a couple of samples of hops. Which two do we have here?
I did. So I brought two hops. The one on your left is going to be a very old traditional English variety called Fuggle. I actually just made a Scottish beer that'll be coming out in the next week or so that used a lot of the Fuggle hops. So Fuggles are very earthy and kind of herbal. The other ones that I brought out here are Eldorado, a newer American variety. And
wow,
yeah,
very pungent, citrusy.
Quite a bit different on that one. So American hops are kind of known for their citrus, their pine, their very, very aromatic characteristics. So you can tell a difference right off the bat when you just kind of sniff.
Big difference.
Sniff the raw product there.
And then really quick before we wrap up this segment, what's your favorite beer that's on tap right now? And I know that's a tough question.
Yeah.
And what's most popular so far?
Most popular so far is, I'm gonna give you two different answers on the most popular, because it's different for on-site and then for take-home sales. So on-site, when people are here drinking the beer, go to Helles, our German-style lager, is by far and away, since the day that we opened, been our best-selling beer. We sell 2 pints to every 1 pint of any other beer
and
that's
just
in
Steve
here.
In the front row is a big fan.
Just Steve's a huge, he's pounding down his like fifth glass of it right here.
Remember, he's just
he's not driving.
Steve.
But then our
can you say Uber?
they're usually rolling around right outside around closing times. So. But then our Fool's Gold. Our golden stout, so it's a stout, but light in color, but characteristics of chocolate and coffee. That's been our best-selling beer to go, again, almost 2-to-1 over anything else.
And that incorporates something from the Brewpoint.
That is the very first collaboration that we did. I actually looked up Brewpoint Coffee before I had even moved here, knowing that I wanted to do something with the local roaster. And sitting down with Ben, the head roaster over there, we had a really fun day of sampling coffee beers and dosing beers with coffees and kind of determining how we wanted to go down the coffee beer road. And ultimately we determined that we didn't want to do your regular coffee porter, coffee stout like everybody else does. That's why we went with the golden ale. Got all the dark beer characteristics from the coffee and from the chocolate instead of from the roasted grains that we would typically get the dark beer characteristics.
Well, Cam, thanks so much for spending some time with us, and we really enjoy your beer, and I think everybody else here does too. Let's hear it for Cam Horn.
All right, Cam.
Thanks, Cam.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on
Thanks
the loadout.
A lot,
Assistant groundskeeper, I can't afford cable TV. The Dalai Lama himself recommended I listen to Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
And we're back on the E-Town Lowdown here at Elmhurst Brewing Company. You hear our groupies in the background. And this next segment is my personal favorite. It's the E-Town Lowdown Mowdown, where we mow down our special guests to their very core. And first up, we have Fraser Donaldson. You ready for this, Fraser?
Yes, sir.
French fries or onion rings?
French fries.
Nancy Drew or Jessica Fletcher?
No idea who Jessica Fletcher is.
Bottle or can?
Bottle.
Sun-Times or Tribune?
Tribune every morning.
Panda Express or P.F. Chang's?
P.F. Chang's by far.
Porter or Stout?
Porter by far.
Beatles or Stones?
Beatles.
Chihuahua or Retriever?
Neither.
You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
A mix.
He's running a brew pub. He's busy. He doesn't have time for a dog.
All right. I'm allergic to dogs.
Soup or chili?
Chili.
Mosquitoes or skunks?
I actually had West Nile twice, believe it or not.
Okay, then the answer would
so
be
the
skunks.
The answer is skunks.
Well, you're in the right place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can we work on that, Mayor?
Just Steve tonight.
Grammys or Academy of Country Music Awards?
Labrador.
Good answer.
Favorite wine?
Oh, that's a great question.
I want to go to Miami.
Favorite wine? Without the H, I assume. That's a tough one. Justin Isosceles.
Paris, France, or Paris Hilton?
Both have been well-traveled. I'd say Paris, France.
Whoa!
The club or Fitz's?
Ooh, wow.
You got to get a break every now and then, right?
Yeah. You know, I think both owner. Can I give a long answer?
Yeah, sure.
Fitz's Lanes.
Okay. All right. Take it.
No, I was going to say, both owners have been great, big supporters of ours. I love what the club's done outside.
That's cool.
Margie's great.
We're glad you all get along.
We do. We do.
Headphones or earbuds?
Earbuds.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Elmhurst Community Bank or Suburban Bank and Trust?
I've got a really cool green golf shirt from CB of E.
All right.
All right. All right. Good answer.
And the last question for this segment of the lowdown, the mowdown, excuse me, bacon or sausage?
What kind of sausage?
Wisconsin, of course.
Millie's.
I'd say Millie's sausage.
Yeah, Millie, all right. Millie's all day long.
Milwaukee.
And we'll take a quick break. Next up will be Cam.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world at 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
Okay, next up on the Lowdown is our E-Town Lowdown Mowdown with head brewmaster of the Elmhurst Brewing Company, Cam Horn. You ready for this, Cam?
I am ready. Let's do this.
Here we go. Air conditioning or windows open?
Ooh, windows open.
Peanuts or pretzels?
Peanuts.
Cowboy hats or baseball hats?
Oh, baseball hats for sure, even though I'm from Texas.
Centennial or Cascade hops?
Oh, I'm a big Centennial fan. I love the grapefruit.
Gone with the Wind or Gone in 60 Seconds?
Gone with the Wind.
Oh, he's
guess.
A romantic. Yeah.
Who would have known?
Grilled cheese or peanut butter and jelly?
Oh, I'm actually lactose intolerant, so I'm going to have to go peanut butter and jelly there. That's a
Mac or PC?
PC. I've never been a big Mac guy.
Bicycle or motorcycle?
Bicycle. Love bicycling. Bicycle as much as I can.
Hamburger or hot dog?
Ooh, I'm going to go hot dog.
Country or Western? both kinds.
Let's do country Western. No, I'm a old school country guy.
Jelly
Willie
beans.
Willie Waylon.
jelly beans or Hershey's Kisses?
I'm gonna go chocolate. I like the Hershey's Kisses.
Beef or seafood?
Seafood all the way.
Fries or tots?
Ooh, that's a big debate here. I'm a tot guy. My wife is not gonna agree with that though. She's all fries all the way all the time.
Sports car or truck?
Truck. I've always had a truck.
Popcorn or ice cream?
Again, I'm lactose intolerant. So you know,
didn't
it's an
do
easy
my homework.
Germany or Belgium?
Ooh, I am a German-trained brewer, so I would be remiss if I didn't go with Germany there.
Opera or play?
Play. Why are you singing for no reason?
Dirty Dozen or Dirty Dancing?
Let's go Dirty Dozen. Dirty Dozen. And I've actually never seen Dirty Dancing. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it all. And the last question for your Mowdown section is red or black licorice?
Oh, I hate licorice. I'm going to go red.
Good answer.
Yes. All right,
we'll be right back.
Thanks.
For interesting interviews and intelligent banter, listen to Bobby and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. Are we clear? I can't believe these guys asked me to do this. I'm sorry. Is there any other promos you'd like me to read? Probably not good enough.
Oh, that's okay.
And we're back here on the Lowdown with the E-Town Lowdown Mowdown with our next victim, Pete Dolan. You ready for this, Pete?
I'm ready.
Okay. Spock or Scotty?
Spock.
MMA or boxing?
MMA.
The beach or the mountains?
Oh, the mountains.
The Warriors or the Golden Eagles?
Oh, wow. You had to go there.
Yeah.
The Warriors.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Elevators or stairs?
Elevators all the way.
Full beard or goatee?
Goatee.
BMW or Audi?
BMW. Yeah.
Right answer.
Yeah. I take offense to that. Wisconsin or Michigan?
Wisconsin.
Exercise at home or at a club?
Exercise?
Gotcha.
Can you spell that?
It's a trick question.
Carrie Underwood or Faith Hill?
I have no idea. Who are those people?
He just loves his wife.
They sing Monday Night Football or something.
I said grunge music. They sing any grunge music? Are they in Pearl Jam?
Not yet.
Who's up?
You're up.
All right. iPhone or Android?
Android.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
Drinking age 19 or 21?
At 19.
Amen. E-book or conventional book?
Conventional book.
Gloves or mittens?
Gloves.
Did he answer?
Yeah.
Gloves.
He did.
Gloves.
Links or patty sausage?
Links.
Morning or evening?
Both.
Here's one that was meant for Cam, but we're going to ask you. Illinois or Texas?
Illinois.
Sweet or salty?
Sweet.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
Swimming pool or a lake?
Swimming pool.
Fishing or hunting?
Fishing.
Ping pong or pool?
Pool.
Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics?
Summer Olympics.
Foam or feather pillow?
Foam.
Brew pub or home cooking?
Another trick
brew
question.
Pub.
And your last question on the Mowdown, swimming pool or a lake?
Swimming pool.
Or a pond.
Cement pond.
And we'll be right back on the Lowdown.
This is Bob Robertson, Sr. When I have insomnia, I listen to Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. Why don't you?
Hi, Scott Lamort here, drum major of the world-famous Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, and you are listening to the E-Town Lowdown with your hosts, Robbie and Rick.
And we're back on the E-Town Lowdown here at the Elmhurst Brewing Company with the founders and owners, Pete Dolan and Fraser Donaldson, and with our last segment,
what do you normally use this mezzanine for?
I use it for overflow on Friday and Saturday nights, and we also use it for private parties.
And podcasts.
And podcasts.
Yes.
It's a new function. So tell us about the beer garden, though. We're all pretty excited about that.
We're very excited about the beer garden. We've got one of the largest beer gardens in the western suburbs. It's about a 3,000-square-foot area.
In the western hemisphere.
In the western hemisphere.
That's going to double the size of this, or more than double the size of this place.
It will. We seat inside about 150. We can seat outside 150. So we can have a total capacity of 300 here, for those who are good at math. And we just ordered some authentic German beer garden furniture to fill it. So we're picturing a lot of communal tables. Anyone that's ever been out to Germany, that is kind of the, that is definitely the style.
Is that like a picnic table kind of thing?
A picnic, yes.
Yeah, well, yes, no.
Close to a picnic table.
Two owners, two different answers.
Tell us about
one nodded, one shook his head.
Tell us about the Mug Club and the 13th Tap.
The Mug Club, I'm actually drinking water out of a 13th Tap Mug Club.
Doesn't look like water.
It's
dirty water.
Yellowish water.
Yeah.
The 13th Tap Mug Club was an idea we had, and Pete and I were talking about all the research that we did, and this is a great idea we came up with. We have 12 taps of beer. But the 13th tap is only available for Mug Club members. So we basically created an exclusive group of individuals that drink 20-ounce mugs of beer for the price of 16. They get a beer on their birthday, and they get to drink the exclusive 13th tap of beer, which Cam brews as usually an experimental beer, a one-off. He brews it on our pilot system, and maybe he tries something different. Maybe he adds, you know, peanut butter to chocolate to a porter and tries it. And if the Mug Club feedback is solid and if the sales are good, then it becomes one of our 12 taps.
So how does one become a member of the Mug Club?
You pay $75. Very exclusive.
It's are a you discriminating kidding? Process. Yeah.
Are you kidding? Family friendly?
We are, yes. We realize that Elmhurst is a family town. We realize that was our exact target demographic, so we put a lot of put a lot of things in place to support the families here. So we're always happy to have anybody come out from the Elmhurst area to enjoy a brew pub.
And I think it's a generational thing, too. We've talked a lot about this, is that the people in the 30s and 40s, people that like craft beer, people that have young children, they want to go to the brewery, but they want to bring their children. I've been to Cisco Brewers in Nantucket. I've been to breweries Greenbush in Michigan. There's kids everywhere. And we don't think it takes away from the whole experience at all. We do have a small kids area. It's on the opposite end of our bar. Families can enjoy a couple beers, take some home, take the kids home, and then at 8 o'clock, it's all adults.
How have you been received by other pubs and restaurants in downtown Elmhurst?
It's been great. Very, very collaborative. And I mean, in general, the brew pub industry or the brewery industry is extremely collaborative. Everybody is very, very helpful and supportive, from giving advice on construction to consumer behaviors, basically anything you want. Brewing, there's an Elmhurst or the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, and they send emails every day. People share hops, they share malt, whatever they need to kind of keep each other supported. It's fantastic. And then locally here, we've run into a number of the local business owners, and everybody's been very welcoming. And equally supportive, and we've really enjoyed that aspect of this business.
So there's enough consumers out there to drink all this beer, is what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
And part of our job is to educate people. We have a lot of people come in and say, what's the closest thing to a Miller Lite? What's the closest thing to a Blue Moon? And it's our job to educate them and try to convert them to appreciate more of the beer styles that the rest of the world and many parts of America are enjoying.
I'd like to go back to talk about the beer garden, if you don't mind. Will there be a kids area that I can play in when I'm out there?
Probably not. The way we've designed it, we've got wine barrels we're going to put tabletops on and bar stools. We've got a lot of seating out there, a lot of communal tables, a lot of high benches that'll be communal. You can seat 12.
It's basically not certified Robbie safe.
Not a lot of places are.
I'll bring my family here still.
Yeah. They'll keep you on a leash there, Robbie.
So how much could you increase your capacity with the current equipment that you have?
Oh, we can double capacity. We've roughed out for another four fermenters, so we can basically double our capacity. We have enough room. We can double up exactly what we have.
So there's been a lot going on lately. You guys got to have some stories to share about the development of this place and how it's all working out.
It's been a fun 3 years. We put a lot of time and sweat and energy into this. I think one of the earliest memories I have of us putting our heads together was to come up with a name. And we came up with some good names. We came up with some crappy names. One of the names we came up with we thought was genius, with his last name Dolan and my last name Donaldson, was the Double D Brewery. And then our wives caught wind of this name and immediately told us no.
There is a Double D's not far from here, by the way.
Not a brewery, though.
Yeah, right. Good point.
Maybe they don't have wives.
It's women. Ironically.
Tell us about the upcoming Elmhurst Craft Brew Fest and how you'll be involved with that.
We've been involved for the past 2 years. So the first year we were Sands Brewery, so Historical Society was nice enough to let us set up a tent and kind of pre-advertise that we were going to be building a brewery. Last year, just before we opened, we actually brewed our first beer. So we actually had a commercial brewing system that we had purchased, our pilot brew system, and we converted it from a gas to a natural gas. We actually brewed our very first beer in the facility for the Elmhurst Craft Brew Fest. So we had a red IPA and we had a Kolsch, which was extremely well received.
Any funny stories, mishaps, things like that since you've opened?
Yeah, I think there's been lots of funny stories. I mean, most recently we had a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. It was a big birthday party up here on the mezzanine where we're sitting, 46 people, and it was people we know, and it was a lot of fun. And the birthday boy lost his wife, couldn't find her, and some friends were wondering where she was. They scoured the brew pub. We're not that. I mean, we're fairly large, but not that large. And I felt bad. The poor guy's paying the tab at the end of the night. I said, "Where's your wife? Why isn't she paying the tab? I don't know where she is." So it turned out that a couple ladies shortly thereafter went to the ladies' room and saw a pair of legs in a stall that weren't moving or anything. And it was silence, knocked on the door, and apparently someone took a nap in the stall.
Happy birthday.
Birthday boy's wife. So they somehow got her out of there, marched her into a cab, and...
I think she forgot whose birthday it was.
So it was either bottling or distribution to other bars in your future?
Yep, that's definitely a plan. What we decided to do was kind of focus on the mothership here for about a year. And really we have a great opportunity to kind of dial in our beers and figure out which beers are our flagships. One of the nice things being this close to the public is we can immediately present a beer, see how it's received, and kind of dial in exactly what we want to launch, to walk out to the consumers, the retail outlets. So we're looking at doing about another 6-8 months of strenuous R&D here, and then we'll be launching a line for the public.
Just curious, why are you not open on Mondays?
And on the seventh day, they rested.
Okay, that's it.
Honestly, we plan on being open on Mondays, and we opened on a Wednesday, February the 7th, and by Saturday we said, Jesus Christ, this is ridiculous.
This is a long
This is nuts. I mean, we're open on the weekends. We're open from 11 a.m. to midnight, and then you got to close the place out, so you get out of here about 1, 2 in the morning. And we just decided, let's be closed on Mondays. And also, and a funny story, too, is that all of our dishwashers are in high school. So guess what? No one can wash your dishes during lunch. So we're not open for lunch because we got to recruit more dishwashers.
And speaking of the seventh day when we rest, well, we'll wrap up. We want to thank both of you, Fraser, Pete, Cam, Jason, for taking time with us and hosting us here at the Elmhurst Brewing Company tonight. How about a round of applause for the staff, the ownership, Elmhurst Brewing Company. And thank you to all of our crazy groupies, you hardcore folks who are left. We appreciate it.
And Charlie, and, Charlie behind the bar.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Pete, Fraser. Cheers to you.
Thanks,
best of
guys.
Luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, everybody.